Facebook page or on Twitter. We can get people up on the stage during the sermons over the next 5 weeks. We can even film them and put them on our YouTube channel. Because, you know, I don't know if you realize the influence our little church has. We get about 90 on a Sunday, but we have about 150 who call New Hope their home, you know. On our Facebook page, we have over 808 people that like that page. So every time we send out something on our Facebook page, there's a lot of people that see it. I have 5,000 Facebook friends that I get to interact with and share things. Our New Hope Brisbane YouTube channel has had over 52,000 views in the last 7 years from all around the world. You can actually go in and see the analytics. Most of them are from Australia, then the US. But we get people looking from China. Somehow they get through the Great Firewall of China and they watch. People, we've had United Arab Emirates. We've had people from Israel. We've had people from Russia, from all around the world look at our YouTube channel. And I actually think God's given us a platform. Also with the radio stuff we do with History Makers Radio and History Makers TV, and Carol's got a new TV show she's working on with Barbara and Hazel Zalumis at the moment. There's so many great opportunities for us in the media to shine a light. And let's face it, the media needs a light, doesn't it? There's so much dark stuff you see on the internet, on TV and radio these days. We've got a chance to shine a light. So we're just experimenting, trying to keep with the times, you know, trying to make sure that we can connect with more people than that's just here on a Sunday. So use the hashtag Overcomer if you're putting something up about a service or a quote or a photo or something. And if you have a testimony about being an overcomer. Now, we're going to tackle a whole bunch of things over this series. We're going to talk about being an overcomer with your words. Because many people, they just speak curses and speak death and speak negativity and speak, they whinge and complain and they drag themselves down and they can't overcome because of their words. A lot of it with their thinking, like Janet was sharing before, people have this negative thinking, stinking thinking, Zig Ziglar calls it. And he says we need a checkup from the neck up. We need to transform our thinking. So we're going to talk about overcoming with our words, overcoming with our thoughts. We're going to talk about overcoming in our relationships. A lot of people in relationships don't know how to love, don't know how to forgive, don't know how to be supportive and uplifting, speaking life into people. You know, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about overcoming in our health. And you may have noticed, lost 5 kilos in the last 8 days, just quietly. Yeah, thank you, yeah. See these guns? Yeah, look at that. No, I'm doing a fast, so naturally you just lose all the liquids that's in your body and any stored up fat, it just all goes. But I started a 40-day fast. I'm up to day 8 today, actually. So many people started on Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday, for the official Lent calendar. But I'm a leader. I've got to be a step ahead of everyone. So I started last Saturday, I just reckon it's one of the best things to do to restart your Christian walk. It's like defibrillating yourself with the chargers. It's like jump-starting your car battery. One thing I've noticed in my journaling over the last week, for some reason, I'm getting more revelation from the scriptures. God's speaking to me clearer. I'm getting more application in my life. It's like the words are coming alive. And something about your thinking when you fast. You don't have all this junk in your body clogging you up, you know. They say that 95% of the diseases in the world these days is because of our diet and the yucky preservatives and ingredients and trash in our food, you know. And all I'm doing is drinking water. I'm having the odd smoothie that Carol's been making with the Thermomix. Very grateful for that. And, you know, I'm having a bit of soup, you know. So I'm still having liquids, you know, to keep myself, you know, and I'm still having coffee. I didn't feel Jesus tell me to fast from coffee on this one. So I'm continuing with... what's that, Lord? No, okay, that's good. He's fine. Okay, no, but you could do any kind of fast over these 40 days of prayer and fasting. You might fast from coffee. You might fast from Facebook. You might fast from food, or you might do a Daniel fast. Carol's doing a one-day a meal. She's fasting a dinner every night. There's different kinds of fasts you can do, but I would encourage you, think about how to have, you know, and getting back to the Overcoming series, it's actually really good for your health. My doc told me it's one of the best things to do to clean out your liver and kidneys and everything. Anyway, so we're talking about how to be an overcomer with our words, our thoughts, how to be an overcomer with our bodies, with our finances and with our relationships. And I'm sure the Lord will have some surprises in store for us over this series. But as I was praying this week, asking the Lord, what do you want to say to the church? You know, it's not my idea. I thought, oh, that'll be a fun... Oh, I heard a video clip and a song and I thought, oh, I could preach on that. It's not how it happens. what I do is I sit down and say, all right, God, I've got nothing. I'm preaching for the next five Sundays. What do you want me to teach on, you know? And I just sit there and then I start writing stuff and I ask the Lord. And then the Lord took me to these verses in Revelation, the verse today, to he who overcomes will have the right to sit at the right hand of with the Father in heaven. I started praying about what does it mean to be an overcomer? How can we be an overcomer? And for me as a pastor, it's one of my greatest struggles that I have. In our church over 8 years now, I've seen people come to know Jesus, people get baptized, people start journaling and getting into the Word of God, serving somewhere, and then some drama happens. You know, like that parable where the seed is sown, some of it falls on good soil and produces a crop 30, 60, 100 fold, but then some of it gets snatched away by the enemy. Some of it has the weeds of the world grow up. Some of it falls on hard soil and doesn't bear fruit. So many Christians these days, the seed is sown in their heart, but then the worries or the devil or something will come and they won't overcome. They won't learn to be an overcomer. So many people I see it with their careers, with their relationships, with their children, with finances, with health. They don't know what it is to say, God, I'm going to stand on your promises. God, I'm going to be a man or a woman of faith. God, I am trusting in you, and I'm going to overcome, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I love the imagery that Mandisa showed in that video clip. She was in a boxing ring, and I actually remember seeing one of my mates at the Gold Coast who pastors a church. He actually preached a sermon with a boxing ring in his shorts with the gloves on, and he talked about what it is to be an overcomer and more than a conqueror. And you know that verse that we like to quote? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a famous boxer named Evander Holyfield who used to have that on the back of his Guernsey, and he used to walk out and he was interviewed once. Is he the guy that got his ear eaten off by Mike Tyson? Yeah. Well, mightn't have been praying that day. But anyway, and it was the enemy trying to attack him. That's what it was, literally. But he was interviewed and he said, every day before I go out to fight, I do my physical training, but I do my spiritual training. And I quote this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he says, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And I love the story that's told about, you know, one of those boxing competitions where there's Don King, who's the promoter, who's the one that makes all the money for the boxing games. So if Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield have a fight and Evander Holyfield knocks out Mike Tyson, he's a conqueror because he defeated Mike Tyson. But you know what? Don King is more than a conqueror because he didn't have to fight the battle, but he got the spoils of victory, didn't he? And that's what it is to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus won the battle on the cross 2,000 years ago, didn't he? He overcame the devil. The Bible says that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen? Our testimony is that Christ overcame the enemy. And we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We get the spoils of victory, don't we? But so many Christians live like we're defeated. We live like we're under the circumstances. A pastor mate of mine, I heard him on the phone once talking to someone and they said, how are you going? They said, oh, not bad, under the circumstances. And he said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances then? Rise up, overcome the circumstances. And the thing is, a lot of Christians don't realize that Jesus has given us all authority to trample snakes and scorpions, all authority to cast out demons, all authority to break any curse, all authority, whatever attack is against us, we've been given authority to overcome in Jesus' name. And my heart for you during this series is that you will get some keys from the Word of God, some promises from Scripture, that you can speak, that you can believe, that you can apply to your life to be an overcomer. Is anybody excited about that? Anybody here want to be an overcomer? Amen. And we want to hear your testimonies. So please, let me know if you've got an overcoming testimony that you want to share with us over this next 5 weeks. Now, I remembered another story as I was preparing for this week. Who's been to Cambodia here before? I know Janet has, Pete and Kylie have, a few of our people from, Cecily went recently. A number of us have been on mission trips to Cambodia. And I went with my mate Jason Wicks, who's a great bloke. He helps with our Reto drug rehab and our Pindari outreach. And we grew up in Coffs Harbour together. And Jason has an amazing story where he was in the army for several years, and his job was in Afghanistan. He was in Iraq to survey the scene after a bomb had gone off. So he would wear all that gear that you see, the helmets and all that, and he'd go in and he'd have to diagnose what kind of bomb it was, and he'd have to make sure it was safe for the next crew to come in. And then they'd try and calculate who it was and what kind of bomb it was and where it might have come from, and then they'd try and track them down. You know, amazingly stressful job. Imagine doing that, going in after a bomb and, you know, trying to work out what the situation was. And Jason ended up going to Iraq, coming back, and he had PTSD, is it post-trauma distress or disorder? He had that thing. And his life just went downhill. He was drinking, he was depressed, and after 2 days of being drunk on the ground, he woke up one morning and thought, I've got to get my life back with God. I've got to get my act together. And he went to a local church, gave his heart back to the Lord. We connected on Facebook, and he felt God tell him to come to Cambodia with me on this mission trip. And I remember sitting there with him at Cambodia. It was like 38 degrees temperature, hot, muggy. The showers had smelly water, and you didn't want to have a shower to cool down. The food was all rice and more rice, and I'd had enough of rice after 2 weeks. And, you know, it was all just hot, and, you know, and I was exhausted, I was tired, I was missing Carol and the kids, and I started to have a bit of a whinge to Jason, who's got this incredible experience and background, and really to Jason, nothing's a problem after what he had done in Iraq. Anyway, I'm going, oh, mate, let's just go home early, I've had enough of this. It's great to see the souls saved, it's great to see the miracles, but I'm just homesick, I just want to, and he says, Matt, two things, adapt and overcome. I'm like, all right, Mr. Army Man, what do you got? You got a sermon for me? He says, that's the motto in the army. Whenever you get sent to a place, you adapt and you overcome. So you adapt. So imagine him, he's going in, he's adapting. He's going, okay, right, there's no landmines here. Okay, I can see the bomb, I can see the explosion, the shrapnel, you know. And you adapt to the situation to make sure that you're not in danger, you know. And then what do? You overcome. You do a diagnostic assessment of the situation to work out what's happening. Then you overcome in the situation. That's the goal in the army, isn't it? You don't want to be overcome. You want to overcome. And he gave me this little sermon, this little pep talk. He said, Matt, come on. Things aren't that bad, are they? Look at our situation. We've seen souls saved. We've seen miracles. We're seeing churches planted. We're part of this great revival in Cambodia. Things aren't that bad, are they? And I started going, oh, yeah, now you mention it. Yeah, I shouldn't have a whinge. I shouldn't get all grumpy, you know. And he says, now, Matt, come on. God sent you here for a reason. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't get into some grumpy, depressive mode where you're not going to be any good to anyone. Adapt to the situation and overcome. And it was the best little pep talk for me at that time, because the rest of the trip just went through the roof, and we went out and did more stuff for God. It was like a second wind from the Holy Spirit came on, all because my mate had this experience he could share with me. And, you know, Jason has had an incredible, he's married a gorgeous Christian woman recently, and he's now doing much more missionary work for God. And I believe because his training in the army to adapt and overcome. And I just thought, I want to throw out the challenge to you today. What is your situation? What is your Iraq? What is your Cambodia? Stinky, smelly, hot situation you're in. What's your mess that you're in right now? Adapt and overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I love the quote from T.D. Jakes. He says, God can turn your mess into your message. He can turn your test into your testimony. You don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor in the name of Jesus. And I truly believe we need to really think about whatever mess we're in right now, God could use it to be our message in the future. Amen. What are the tests you're going through now? It could be your testimony that you could share with others later. Don't be a victim. Overcome, adapt and overcome, and be a victor. Because God can bring beauty out of ashes, can't he? God can resurrect anything. God can anoint us to rise up over any situation. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord, amen? And who's the captain of the host? Three people. Who's the captain of the host? Jesus. We need to make sure that we stand firm on the promise of Jesus. Look at what it says here in 1 John 5, 3 to 5. The Bible says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If Jesus is an overcomer and he lives in us, what are we? What are we, people? Come on. We're overcomers in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at some quotes about overcoming. This is a great one from Helen Keller. She says this, the marvelous richness of human experience would lose something of rewarding joy if there were no limitations to overcome. The hilltop hour would not be half so wonderful if there were no dark valleys to traverse. That's a pretty deep one, that one. You might need to think about that. You might need to take a photo of that and read it on your phone a bit later. That's a deep one, isn't it? I thought about that, you know, and if you looked at my life testimony, if I had a whiteboard here and I drew a graph of my life, or over this side, if I drew a graph of my life, you know, I don't need a whiteboard, Annie, but thank you for offering. That's nice of you. She's a wonderful team member here. You know, it'd start off with, you know, growing as a Christian from a young age. My mum took me to church and dad, and I learnt the ways of the Lord, so I was probably going on an uphill, you know, succeeding. I had a good childhood, you know, pretty good. Nothing really bad happened in my childhood. And then when I was about 12 or 13, I got sick of church and I wasn't really interested in the conservative church I was a part of, so I probably flatlined for a little bit. And then I went to a youth camp and I gave my heart to Christ when I was 15 and it was like through the roof. Went to school and started preaching and leading my friends to the Lord and saw this revival at my school and things were going great. Went to Bible college, had a great season in my life for a few years. And then, many of you know my testimony, I went through a divorce at the age of 25. And it was probably about, you know, 10 or 20% back down to, you know, maybe when I was 15, maybe back down to that same level again when I gave my heart to the Lord. I was just, God, how could this happen? God, I thought you were in control. God, I thought I was doing the right thing. God, how could this happen to me? You know, and I was questioning whether I was called to ministry. I was questioning even my faith. I was questioning everything. At the same time, I lost my job. The company I was working for went bankrupt. And I just moved to Brisbane and my whole life was like, what am I doing here? I felt like Job. Everything was taken away from me. And I was going downhill fast. But then through the Vineyard Church that I attended, my pastor picked me up and loved me and did counseling and prayed for me. And then I started going on the uphill again. And I started running Alpha courses and preaching. And I became treasurer at the church. And I met this gorgeous girl named Carol who'd been praying for an awesome knight in shining armor for 10 years. And it turned out to be me. Thank you, Jesus. And things were going up again. And then we took over a church and God started blessing us with children and all these wonderful things. And I was on the up again. And then about 5 years ago, it's probably 6 years ago, I got really sick. I had this thing called rheumatoid arthritis, Still's disease, and glandular fever. And for 3 months, I was bedridden. And I went down fast. I lost 20 kilos, which was kind of handy for health-wise, but I was depressed. I was even suicidal a couple of days there, thinking, God, why aren't I healed? Why is this happening? I would wash my hair and I would have clumps of hair coming out of my hand. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. Carol was not happy with it, you know, was messing up everything, you know, everything was messed up. And I couldn't believe that I wasn't instantly healed from this thing. But the Lord was with me in that valley. And that first valley I went through, the Lord was with me. And I can honestly say, at the age of 25 when I went through that divorce, I hit rock bottom, but you know what? There's a scientific fact that I read a while back that if you dig down low enough in the ground, you can actually see the stars in the middle of the day. Anyone heard that? If you dig down low enough in the ground, you can actually see the stars. And for me, I was low in that time, and I looked up and I could see God clearly in the middle of that valley, you know? And when I was in that down point in the graph there, when I was sick, even though I was suicidal and depressed and, you know, absolutely, you know, and I had every man and his dog coming and praying for me and saying, come on, Matt, just speak in faith, you'll be fine. And, you know, everyone's doing it. Well, I didn't feel good in that time, you know. And then the sad reality has been every year since that, in the last 6 years, I've had some form of that sickness come and attack me again over the last 6 years. I haven't had it for a while. I think almost February last year I had it last. So I've had 12 months without an attack, and I'm praying I won't be sick again in Jesus' name. Who's with me? Anyone say amen to that? But you know what? Each time it comes back, it's not as bad as the first time. But I do start to think, God, why aren't I healed of this? You know? But you know what we've got to do in that situation? We've got to adapt and overcome. We've got to learn to speak the word of the Lord. We've got to learn to stand on His promises. I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We've got to learn to speak life in those valleys. And the truth is, everyone goes through those valleys. If you're here today and you reckon you've never been through a valley, I reckon you're dreaming. Everyone's been through a valley, whether it be a health, a relationship, or finance, or whatever kind of valley you've been through. But the truth is, God promises that He's with us. He will never leave us or forsake us, amen? He will guide us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, it says in Psalm 23. He will lead us into greener pastures. We need to hold on to those promises. We're in the valley. Thomas A. Kempis said this: who has a harder fight than he who is striving to overcome himself? As I read that during the week, I thought, you know, that's very, very important for us as Christians to understand this. You know, of course we are fighting the enemy when we need to overcome. But sometimes the enemy is ourselves. It's our foolish choices. It's our sin that we haven't confessed and repented of. It's our selfish ambition, our pride, our personal sins, whether it be sexual sins, whether it be greed or financial sins, whatever our sins are, often it's our own self we need to overcome. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you know. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you of some sins that you need to repent of. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16, confess your sins one to another so that you might be healed. Maybe that's something you need to overcome today. Watchman Nee, an incredible man of God, said this: a person who wholly follows the Lord is one who believes that the promises of God are trustworthy, that He is with His people, and that they are well able to overcome. We've got to hold on to the promises of God. And another one from Watchman Nee, and this is really appropriate for us during this 40 days of prayer and fasting. Negligence in prayer withers the inner man. Nothing can be a substitute for it, not even Christian work. Many are so preoccupied with work that they allow little time for prayer. Hence, they cannot cast out demons. Prayer enables us first inwardly to overcome the enemy, and then outwardly to deal with him. Friends, if you want to be an overcomer, you've got to get into the secret place. You've got to get into the prayer closet with Jesus, and you've got to ask Him to forgive you. You've got to ask Him to fill you. You've got to ask Him to anoint you. You've got to ask Him to give you wisdom. You've got to speak the word of God between you and God. It's great that I pray with my wife. It's great that I pray here at church. It's great that I go to the National Day of Prayer and do all that. But if I'm not praying in the secret place with Jesus, I ain't got nothing. It's between you and Jesus. And if you're strong in that place of prayer in the secret place, it's a key to being an overcomer. You got that, church? You want to be an overcomer? Get into the secret place and pray. So my point number one today is have a never say die attitude. If I look at some of the great leaders who have mentored me over the years, I reckon that they are some of the greatest overcomers. And you know, I truly believe that if you hang around eagles, you'll end up flying. Amen? The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So if you hang around dogs, you'll end up with fleas. If you hang around turkeys, you'll end up gobbling. If you hang around eagles, you'll end up flying. Amen? Who are you hanging around? Eagles, that's good. Hang around the eagles. Find some great men and women of God and let them mentor you. They can mentor you personally or they can mentor you from a distance. Carol actually said to me a while back, we were on a date night. I shared this recently, but I'll share it again. We're on a date night and I said, honey, what's one of the things you love about me? You know, I wanted to get my love tank filled. And she said, I love that you've got a never say die attitude. And it was one of the most encouraging comments that she's ever said to me. Filled up my love tank, you know, words of affirmation, that was good. No, there was other better things you've said, honey, but that was one of the best. But what an encouraging word, because she's seen over 11 years of marriage now. She's seen me in valleys where I've had to adapt and overcome. And she said, you've got a never say die attitude. And that's one of the best compliments I reckon you can get, because I reckon that's the attitude of Christ. Whenever he was under attack from the Pharisees, whenever he was persecuted, he had a never say die attitude. Oliver's over there. Hello, Oliver. He's climbing up on the stage. Does someone want to come and grab him? Hello, Oliver. Have you come up to see Pastor Matt, have you? Hello, buddy boy. The altar call's a bit later, mate. You can come up a bit later for some prayer. Where's his mum? She's around somewhere. All right. Have a never say die attitude. If I look at some of the mentors I've had in life, Pastor John Lewis from Nexus Church, formerly Northside, he's been mentoring me over the last few years, and he pastored his church for 31 years, planted a number of churches out of that church, started a Christian school where my kids go. What an overcomer, 31 years. Many people chop and change their jobs like they change their underwear these days, and I reckon that's a great example of an overcomer, 31 years. Pastor Wayne Cadero, the leader of our movement, New Hope in Hawaii, 30 years this weekend he's been pastoring New Hope in Hawaii. Planted 140 churches, been through some incredible, they've been taken to court, they've been accused of all sorts of things, they've had money problems, they've had splits, you name it, they've been through it. 30 years, faithful. What an overcomer. That's the kind of eagle I'd like to hang around. I look at Pastor Trevor Chandler, the leader of A2A in Australia. His memorial service was last Saturday at Catalyst Church. They had over 1,000 people there. And Brian Houston, the leader of Hillsong Church in Australia, went to the funeral and at the memorial service and stood up and he said, thank you to Trevor Chandler for being an example to the leaders of Australia and New Zealand. That was my Brian Houston impression. No good? Stop it, okay, I'll cut that right here. In Jesus' name. But Brian Houston said he was able to watch Trevor Chandler when he started his church in New Farm in the 70s. A great charismatic renewal began. Thousands of people came to know the Lord. Thousands of churches have been planted through the A2A movement all around the world now. What an overcomer. And at 89, he passed away, maybe a month ago. And still preaching, still writing books, still having theological discussions about end times with people, which he loved to do, still fired up for Jesus. He finished well. That is an overcomer. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God, is there? He kept going until the Lord took him home to glory. What a great eagle to hang around. Who are the eagles that you're hanging around? Are you hanging around turkeys that are making you gobble? Are you hanging around dogs that are making you get fleas? Or are you hanging around eagles? Eagles that are helping you to soar and overcome. Have a never say die attitude. And look for eagles that you can hang around as well. John Maxwell says, your attitude determines your altitude. How good is that? You've got to have an overcoming attitude, and it determines how high you go in life. Have an overcoming attitude. John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. It's not really the best marketing slogan there at the beginning, is it? In this world, you'll have trouble. Come and follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself and follow me. Jesus is being real there. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trial. You're going to have attacks. You're going to have down points in that graph of your life where everything's going to be a mess. But turn that mess into your message. Turn that test into your testimony. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And I love that the first bit there. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I love Pastor Bill Johnson from Bethel Church preached a while back, and he had a painting of a city which had traffic jams and smoke and pollution and all sorts of drama happening in the middle of that city. And sitting up on top of the building was a little white dove. And it was just a perfectly painted little white dove at the top of this busy city. And he said, for me, when I saw that, I just saw that and thought, that is peace in the midst of all the mess that's going on. It's above the mess. Amen? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? He is above the mess of the world. And we need to set our thinking at the level of Christ's thinking. Eliminate stinking thinking. Stop thinking all these negative, whinging, complaining things all the time. Stop saying, woe is me. Now, let me just acknowledge, there is a time and a place for lamentations. There is a time and a place for mourning. You know, Ecclesiastes is very clear. It's like that song, there is a season, turn. There's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time for war and a time for peace. There's a time to go through the valley. And don't ignore it. Don't fake it till you make it, so to speak. The Bible says weep with those who weep. It doesn't say don't weep. If you're going through a weeping time, weep. If you're going through a trial, go through it and experience it and learn from it and let it improve you and let your scars be turned into your stars. Amen? Whatever your wounds you're going through, Jesus will heal them. Every day is a new day. Amen? His mercy is new every morning. Just because you're going through one tough day doesn't mean the next day isn't going to be better. Our God is a God of eternity. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's happening tomorrow. He's got a plan for you. He will resurrect you. But don't stay in that valley forever is what I'm saying today. The Lord does have greener pastures for every one of us. Have a possibility mindset. Think outside the box. Realize how big God is. Set your mind on things above and on things that are eternal. Like that dove above the city. Think about, you know, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Think, don't just say what would Jesus do in a situation. What would Jesus think in a situation? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus respond to this? He would adapt and overcome, I reckon, because he says, I've overcome the world. And in me you'll have peace, he says. Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love this spiritual principle. I remember at Bible college many years ago, our principal said, it's just a spiritual principle. Whenever you're down in the dumps, whenever you're under attack, whenever there's something bad happening in your life, I guarantee you this, I promise you this, you go and do something good for someone. You go and feed the poor, pray for someone who's sick, be generous, give someone a donation, shout someone to lunch, mow someone's lawn, whatever. Go and bless someone. Supernaturally, there'll be a shift. Somehow, you'll feel better. Somehow, it'll change the way you think and the way you live. Pastor Wayne Cadero at Hawaii, he shares with the pastors, but we go over there for pastors training every now and then. Need to go again soon, actually. It's been a while, but anyway. He says, whenever there's a trouble in the church, like say, for example, a few years ago, in their music team, there was adultery and all sorts of trouble happened, you know. And he went in and he sorted it out. He stood someone down and he raised up someone and he, you know, made sure it was set on the right path again. He said this awesome quote. He said, leadership isn't just what you've achieved, but what you've set in motion. I thought that was a brilliant quote. So he set in motion something new there and God fixed it. But he said he was all down in the dumps about it. And he wanted to just have a whinge, like me in Cambodia, have a whinge and complain about everything. And he wanted to have a whinge about the music team and why can't these people just get their act together? He wanted to get in, you know, woe is me kind of attitude. But he felt the Lord say, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know what he went and did? Because of that, because of the devil doing that in his music team, he went and planted another church. He found a pastor in his church that was itching to plant a church. He met with him and he said, I'm going to help you plant a church. Where do you want to plant a church? All right, let's do it. And he made it happen. He didn't let the evil overcome him and break his stride and waste his time and distract him, because that's what the enemy's plan is. When he comes at you, he tries to stop you from being who you're called to be. He tries to make you fruitless. He tries to make you ineffective. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Go and plant a church. Go and heal someone. Go and donate something. Go and bless someone. Go and feed the poor. Go and start a new ministry. Do something for God. That'll teach the devil to have a go at you anymore, won't it? The devil will be like, oh, I better not attack Wayne anymore. He's just going to plant more churches if I do that, you know? I don't know if the devil will give up just quietly, but still, what a great attitude to have. We've got to have an overcoming attitude. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The next verse we're going to look at here is 1 John 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's like that dove above the picture of the city. Jesus is greater than he that's in the world. That's a great memory verse for you to commit to memory. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Point number two today, when you know who you are in Christ, in him, you can overcome some things. Just remember that. Sorry? All things. Did I get that wrong? Oh, sorry. Just making sure you're awake there, Annie. That's good. When you know who you are in Christ, in him, you can overcome anything. What's your obstacle right now? What's your mountain? Don't look at how big the mountain is. Look at how big your God is. Don't look at how big Goliath is. Look at how big your God is. In him, you can overcome anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Carol found this verse during the week and said to me, honey, you should be sharing this one in your sermon. So this is for my wife, really, this one. That's a good verse. It's a good verse. Hebrews 10:9-19. Let's walk right up to God, full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. If we give up and turn our backs on all we've learned, all we've been given, all the truth we now know, we repudiate Christ's sacrifice and are left on our own. But we are not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. It's like that picture of the boxer in the boxing ring. You fight until the final round. You don't give up. You don't quit. I think the spirit of the age these days is a lot of people go, oh, it's too hard. I'm not going to try and fix it. Oh, the job's too hard. I'm not going to complete it. The church is too hard to run. I'm going to go and find an easier job. Oh, I'm not going to go and try and fix this relationship because it's too difficult. I'm not going to try and help that person. It's too hard. You know, we quit and we give up too easily these days. I believe one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. I believe to be Christ-like, we've got to show perseverance and run the race to win the prize. Look at the disciples. They were beaten, stoned, whipped, persecuted. They went through incredible troubles. And you know, my little Joshy, one of his favorite songs we listen to in the car on a long trip is that song. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain. And it says, we are bruised but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We are blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy comes in the morning. Every day is a new day, amen. No matter what happens today, tomorrow is a new day. Let's have an overcoming attitude. And when we know who we are in Christ, we can overcome anything. And my third point today is Christ overcame on the cross. Let's keep our eyes on him and his victory. You know, we don't pray to get victory. We pray and thank Jesus for his victory in our life. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy on the cross. So he won the battle. It's up to us to walk in that victory. It's up to us to adapt and overcome. It's up to us to live like we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. John C. Broger said it like this. It's a brilliant quote, this one. He says, God has defeated Satan through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through this overwhelming victory, God has also empowered you to overcome any temptation to sin and has provided sufficient resources for you to respond biblically to any problem in life. But relying on God's power and being obedient to his word, you can be an overcomer in any situation. You know, when I was in Israel recently, you know, I went to Israel. It was great. We went to a place called the Gates of Hell. Has anyone seen this in Israel before? It's actually a place. Now, I won't go into all the details, and some theological professor might be able to explain it better than I could, but basically, it's a massive cliff, and it's got a dungeon in the middle. It's got a big cave in the middle. And in that cave is a place where pagan religions would go and meet, and they would sacrifice animals, they would sacrifice children, they would sacrifice virgins, they would do all sorts of horrific sexual acts there. I won't go into details. And it was literally called the Gates of Hell. And Jesus took his disciples for a walk one day. And if you come to Israel with me, we'll see this place with our own eyes. I can picture it right now. It's right near the River Jordan. It's amazing. The River Jordan's just this little trickle, by the way. Some people think it's this massive. It's just a little river at the moment. Anyway, Jesus took his disciples there. And in the culture of the day, they knew this was one of the most evil places in Israel. This is where the pagan gods, and I think it was the god of Pan, the goat's head god, because at the tourist shop, they sell those little goat's heads you can buy there. I'm like, I'm not buying one of them, thank you. I'm into the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Goat, thank you. You know, I couldn't believe it. That's one of the things I did dislike about Israel, to be honest. Wherever you went, there was these trashy, touristy things. You know the place where Peter denied Christ? You can buy roosters there, little rooster statues, because the rooster crowed. You know you can buy 10 lepers soap in Israel. Isn't that ridiculous? Anyway, so that's one of the things I didn't like about Israel. But the thing I did like is where Jesus walked. And Jesus walked with his disciples to this place. And I guess in Brisbane, it'd be a little bit like Fortitude Valley, which is where the highest crime rate is, where there's the most drugs and nightclub trouble and violence, you know. So he took them to this place, which was the worst religious sacrifice place. And it was quite a way out from where Jesus was based. So it was a long walk for him to get there. And as Jesus stood there, he asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" Or he asked the disciples, "Who do men say to them?" And some said, "Oh, some say you're Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say you're a prophet, you know." And then Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "This is why I call you Peter," which means rock, or means pebble. "For on this rock I will build my church, and the church will reign triumphant even at the gates of hell." So when he said that, it was in the context of, this is the worst place in the world for animal sacrifice, for virgin sacrifice, for, you know, horrific evil acts happen there. And Jesus said, even in the middle of this, I will build my church and nothing will prevail against it. Because he's saying it because he's an overcomer. He knows that he's about to die on the cross and take the keys of death and hell and death and Hades. He's taking the keys of all that evil stuff and he's saying, I will build my church. And you know, I can imagine the disciples. There's 12 of them. And Jesus says, "I will build my church, 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 and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And it echoed, and like this massive statement. And they look around and they go, "There's 12 of us here. This is your plan? You reckon you're the saviour of the world who's going to turn the world up? You're saying all these amazing things and it's us that you're going to change the world with? You can imagine what they were thinking. But Jesus knew that these unschooled fishermen and tax collectors, nothing special about these blokes. The only thing special about them was that God chose them and that they obeyed and they followed the call. They left their fishermen nets behind and they followed Christ. They left their tax collecting behind and they followed Christ. And they followed him. And then when he died and rose again, they followed him. They were a bit despondent and depressed for a while. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing again. He'd had enough after Christ was crucified. He was ready to give up. But then when Jesus appeared to them and he cooked fish for them on the beach, he said, look at the holes in my hands and my feet. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them things, all the things that I've commanded you. He says it in Matthew 28. And then he goes to be with the Father and he said, it's good that I'm going to the Father because I'm sending one who is after me, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the Counselor, who will lead you into all truth. Those 12 men were not good enough to take the gospel to the nations, but when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Peter got up and preached and thousands were saved. He had the anointing on him so much that his shadow, here's my shadow here, going over the girl's feet here. Even when his shadow went over people, they were healed instantly because of the anointing and the power of God that was on his life. When Jesus said it to these men in the middle of the gates of hell, he knew that they were going to be overcomers. He knew that the Holy Spirit was going to come at Pentecost and empower them. Now, as we close today, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I don't want you to think today was a pep talk. I'm not some motivational speaker that's trying to tell you, you can do it, believe in yourself, you can overcome. Only through Christ can you overcome. Only as we look to Christ on the cross. Christ overcame on the cross. Let's keep our eyes on him and his victory. Only through Christ can we overcome. One of the sad tragedies today is that many people in the church think they can overcome and they do it in their own strength. But friend, let me tell you, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to achieve what God wants you to achieve. The Bible is incomplete without Pentecost. The Bible is incomplete without Acts. You know, there's five times in the book of Acts where it says the Holy Spirit came on people. Three times out of five, it says that they spoke in tongues. Doesn't mean it happened every single time, but you can assume it was a part of the church. Most of the time when the Holy Spirit came, they prophesied. They saw signs and wonders. Demons were cast out. Healings came. Miracles came. As the preaching of the word happened, signs and wonders confirmed the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. It's because the Holy Spirit empowered the church. Friend, if you want to be an overcomer, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the power of God. You've got to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled so that you can receive the Father's love, so you can give the Father's love. The last two verses we're looking at here from Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame him and sat down with my Father on his throne. Friend, when you're in the valley and you think there's no hope, remember, God's on the throne. He is sovereign. All authority was given to him and he's given it to you. D.A. Carson put it like this. He said, we overcome the accuser of our brothers and sisters. We overcome our consciences. We overcome our bad tempers. We overcome our defeats. We overcome our lusts. We overcome our fears. We overcome our pettiness on the basis of the blood of the Lamb. And the last verse today, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to their death. Let's stand, church. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today at the launch of this series of what it means to be an overcomer, Lord Jesus, we just confess we can't overcome on our own. We can't psych ourselves up and convince ourselves and do it in our own strength. We'll get nowhere, Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God, we desperately need a fresh wind of your Holy Spirit today Just cry out to him now wherever you are across the room today. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, we need your fresh anointing, your fresh wind, your fresh fire. We need another Pentecost today. All the disciples were in the upper room and they were waiting on the promise that they would receive power from on high. That word power is the word dunamis in the Greek, which is like where we get the word dynamite. It means the explosive power of God. We need a fresh touch of God today. Come and pour out your Spirit on us, Lord God. May we be overcomers. May we be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I just feel the Lord just wanting to say today, whatever valley you're in, don't stay there.
That's right.
Whatever affliction or attack is against you right now, don't be overcome by it, but overcome it in the name of Jesus. Adapt and overcome. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed as we're praying, got two things to ask. First one, if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, friend, that's the first step to being an overcomer. The Bible says, if you acknowledge me before men on earth, I will acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, and we believe it in our heart, then we will be saved. Friend, if you want to give your heart to Jesus today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, just slip up your hand and say, yes, I'm coming to Jesus today. Is there anyone here today that wants to give the heart to Jesus? Slip up your hand right now. I'll give you one more moment. Is there anyone here today? Just put it up high so I can see it. I see that. That's good. Awesome. Is there anyone else today? The second question I want to ask. Have you been trying to overcome in your own strength? Have you been trying to overcome in your own way, with your own resources, with your own strategies and plans, with your own wisdom? Friend, let me tell you, God doesn't want you to try and go it alone and do it your own way. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. If you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit today, if you're going through a valley right now and you need Jesus to come and fill you afresh today with the Holy Spirit, to get you to that next level in life, to get you out of that valley and up to the mountain peak, if you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit today to overcome, just put up your hand and say, yes, God, I need you. Yes, God, I need you. I see that. Yep, hands all over the place. Well, I want you to come out the front now, those that put their hands up, and we're going to pray for you together. Everyone come out right now if you could. We're going to pray for you together. Everyone stretch out your hands and pray for those that are coming out right now. Step out right up front here. Stretch out your hands. Can we have the prayer team come around and lay hands on these guys here? Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that have called out to you today. As we stand with them today, Lord Jesus, I just had that picture again of that dove that is above the city. The first promise that the Lord has for you today is He's going to give you peace. Receive the peace of the Lord right now. The Bible says that we have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Jesus said, take heart. I will give you peace. I've overcome the world. Just receive the peace of the Lord right now. Let it flow over you like a wave. The second thing the Lord's going to give you is He's going to give you wisdom. Some of you just don't know what to do with this situation. It seems hopeless. It seems like there is no answer. God's going to give you wisdom. The Bible says if we ask Jesus to give us wisdom, He will give it to us. He will give wisdom to us. As you're out the front today, He's going to give you peace. Going to give you wisdom. And the third thing that God just put in my heart that He wants to give you is He wants to give you an overcoming spirit. You know, the Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke. There's a yoke of the enemy that's on your life. The yoke of the enemy's been trying to bind you up and chain you up and deceive you and drag you down so that you're rendered ineffective for the work of the Lord. But when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes, it breaks that yoke. So right now, I'm going to lay hands on each one of you. Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come and break that yoke in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, let the anointing come right now. Let the anointing come on each one right now to be an overcomer, to have that overcoming spirit in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing come. Holy Spirit, come and fill them afresh today. Holy Spirit, come, anoint them afresh in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. You are overcomers in Christ Jesus. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Fill them afresh today. Come on, church, let's all pray for those that are out the front right now. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're overcoming. Holy Spirit, come. Just while we're praying together right now, does anyone feel they've got anything on the heart they want to share? You might have a Bible verse or a prophecy or a testimony about overcoming. Before we close the service, you may have a vision the Lord's given you. Does anyone have anything they want to share today?
It's the power of praise, of staying in His presence, of staying in His Word that's going to give you and I the victory. You stay outside of His presence, you're going to fall because you haven't got the strength. But He has. So you place yourself in Christ Jesus, because that's where we live and move and have our being. We stay in Christ and we will be overcoming. We will be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. You stay in the power of His praise. Stay in the power of His love. Stay in the power of His presence. And you will see the victory. You will see the old man be put asunder. You will see the new come forth. You will see the new man arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord is rising upon the people of God. And I will have a people in this day that will be willing to carry my love, to carry my power, to carry the overcoming love of Christ, my Son. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Anybody else got anything they want to share? All right, church, well, let's worship. And if I could ask the prayer team to come around and just start praying and ministering to those that are out the front. We're going to lay hands and pray for individuals. Whatever you need prayer for, just... Might get Dan. Hey, Dan, listen, you want to come out and pray for some of these blokes over here? Is that all right?